This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama every Tuesday at RelicRadio.com, where you can also find thousands of other old-time radio episodes available to listen to for free, thanks to the support of the people who listen to these podcasts. If you'd like to help out, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on the donate link on the website. You're how Relic Radio keeps coming every week. Our first story today comes from the Zero Hour. We'll hear An Arm's Length from May 13, 1974. After that, it's Theatre Royal and the Snow Goose, their episode from April 18, 1954.
Rod Serling, you're listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Kim Weisskopf's grisly tale of detachment. An Arm's Length. Starring Dick Sargent. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by Dial Soap, Monroe Shock Absorbers, Camphophonique, the makers of Kodak cameras, and Breck Shampoo. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
And so slowly you hardly notice it. Your two-year-old car begins to drift, sway, and roll. It's like driving at sea. A set of Monromatic shock absorbers can help put you back on solid ground, because the better the shock absorbers, the better your control. And Monromatic shocks adjust automatically to give you solid, automatic ride control. See your Monroe dealer.
Monroe Automatic Ride Control, between you and Monroe.
No pain's a little one when it happens to your child. Camphophonique instantly stops pain of minor cuts, scrapes, or burns.
What about infection?
Camphophonique gently penetrates skin injuries to kill germs that can cause infection, so injuries can heal nature's way.
Janie, feel better now?
It stops hurting, Mommy.
For minor cuts, scrapes, burns, Camphophonique, the penetrating first aid medication, stops pain instantly, helps prevent infection. Camphophonique.
Today, the story of a puzzle. There's one last missing piece and a host of peculiar folks involved in the search. We will soon meet Police Detective Lieutenant Dan Wilson, a hard-nosed cop with a sports page fixation. Dan Wilson's job will be to find just what it is that lies an arm's length away. Picture this: a lakeside mountain resort. It's mid-morning, and the sun is barely breaking through the cloud cover.
Never again do we spend a weekend in the pines. Nothing but rain. We could have stayed home and watched television for all the relaxation we've had.
Stop complaining, Harry. It was lovely just being where the air's clean.
Are you packed?
Not quite.
Then what are you doing outside? Tell me, we could check out now. We could get back to the city before the traffic gets too bad.
I want to get a souvenir to take home.
Souvenirs? Might as well scoop up a mud pie. That'd be the thing to remind me of this weekend.
Don't tell me Ruth was the greatest. Aaron's the best that ever lived. Now look at the stats. He can hit, run, hit with power, steal base.
Yeah, but can he pitch? Ruth was a great pitcher.
I don't want to hear about it. Wilson homicide. What? Where? When? We're on the way.
Where are we going?
Lake Alston, Dodger Lodge. They found Ed Slito. Most of them, anyway.
What do you mean?
His pitching arm. It's missing.
Hey,
That's him, all right. Tattoos and all. Sergeant, where's the couple that found the body?
In the other room. Name of Ryan, guy who runs the place. Van Ness, he's in there with him.
Thanks. We'll take it from here. Nolan, you all right?
It'll pass.
You, Van Ness?
Oh, yes, this is terrible. Have you any idea what the publicity would
do? Where's Ryan?
I'm Harry Ryan. Who are you?
Detective Lieutenant Wilson, this is my partner, Sergeant Nolan.
Well, it's about time. We spend our whole weekend knee-deep in mud. Our ice chest is stolen.
Save it for your memoirs. We got a dead man in the other room, and I'm missing the ball game on the radio, so we all got problems. Now, what happened out here?
Harry?
That's my wife. She had to find the damn thing.
Harry?
Ma'am, my name's Wilson. Could you tell me just what happened?
Oh, I was looking for a souvenir. Something to bring back home. I bent down to look at a pine cone and there was this hand. Oh, it was awful.
Nolan, will you get over here? I can't handle hysterical women.
Oh, thanks.
You too. Let's give them some privacy. Van Ness, you know who this is? Was.
I don't know how he got here, who he was. All I know
fine,
is that...
Fine. What about you?
Lieutenant, I demand to know why we're being detained. All he wanted to do was...
Great. Now I'll write that down in my mind. This one-armed corpse is Tattoo Edge Sleedo, one of the great prison team baseball pitchers of all time. Why, now look at him.
Lieutenant, must you...
Now, why would somebody want to go and do that to such a great talent? He pitched for them all. Chino, Quentin, Folsom.
Lieutenant, can I see you outside?
Sure.
I got Mrs. Ryan's statement and home address. I think we can let him go for now.
Kind of nice up here, isn't it? Rustic.
You get anything out of those two?
The guy's been in the joint most of his life. His mother's still alive.
You lost me.
Let's go.
Go? Go where?
Back to the city for some answers.
I'm going where?
To every tattoo parlor on the Bowery until you find the one where Sleedo got that arm marked.
But the arm, it's gone. We don't know what was on it.
But we do know who put it on. Rembrandt Landy was the only one Sleedo trusted with his body. Find him and find out what he drew on that arm and when.
And where will you be?
I'm going to look up Sleedo's mother. She makes great cupcakes.
So, you haven't seen any of this time out, Mr. Sleedo?
Would you like another cupcake, Officer Wilson?
No.
I'm surprised Eddie didn't write to tell me he was being sprung again. He always lets me know in advance so I can stock up the Frigidaire.
Do you have any photographs of Ed around here, Mr. Sleedo?
Well, naturally, I'm his mother. Now, let's see this. This is Eddie when he was 5. That's his very first baseball glove.
You got anything more recent?
Well, only his mug shot, but I'm not supposed to have that, am I? Hello? Why, yes, he's here. It's for you, Mr. Nolan.
You got anything?
We found Rembrandt Landy in a back room at Pistol Pete's, but he won't talk.
Why not?
He can't. His throat's been cut.
When we tell you Gold Formula Breck is the only leading shampoo that isn't mostly detergent, we're not putting you on. But because so many people have written to thank us for Breck, we decided to put some of them on. Patty Bunker of Piscataway, New Jersey, you're on.
Dear Breck, I love your Breck shampoo for oily hair. It really works. Shampoos are in competition, so it probably feels good to know your product is so good.
Gold Formula Breck. It has far less detergent, far more natural ingredients than any leading shampoo. And that's no put-on. And here's something else that's no put-on. Right now, the Breck people have a very special offer for you. Because right now, it's Breck season. The sun and wind and water season when you depend on Breck protection for your hair. So to help you stock up, Breck will give you a $2 refund when you buy any 3 different Breck products. For details on how to get your $2 refund, just look for the colorful Breck season display at participating stores. There you'll find everything you need to keep your hair looking great, all Breck season long. Offer void where prohibited by law.
Yeah. somebody's not fooling around.
I don't know, Lieutenant. Maybe I ought to go back to pounding a beat. This is getting grim.
You get used to it. Anybody know what happened here?
Well, the shop was closed. No witnesses, no weapon. All fingerprints are wiped out.
Looks like we're finished here, then. I'm going back to headquarters.
Yeah, I could use a breather.
Later. You're going to see the Ryan couple. First time you ever called. You got that address?
Yeah, but...
I'll meet you there in half an hour.
Stand back, everyone.
Oh, Christ. Wilson, homicide. Who's the body?
Guy's name Ryan. There's another one inside.
Out of my way. Nolan. Nolan.
Lieutenant, I can't stand it.
You look lousy.
You haven't seen Ryan's wife.
I saw Ryan. No witnesses?
And no weapon. He's some kind of maniac running around.
Yeah, and I get the feeling we're right behind him.
We're running out of leads.
Maybe not. This thing's narrowing down. I looked through the file on Slito at headquarters. I think Tattoo Ed tried to sneak a fastball by us all. Trouble is, someone hit it out of the park. Nolan? Mrs. Slito's waiting.
Do I have to go?
I'm going with you.
Please answer.
Look at it this way. If she's dead, you're in the clear.
What?
No, you found the others.
Lieutenant.
I'm joking.
Some joke.
Oh, why, Officer Wilson, you're just in time for cookies. How nice of you to come back so soon. And you brought along a friend.
Sergeant Nolan, my partner.
Ma'am?
Would you like a glass of milk?
We haven't time for that.
A cookie, then.
Mrs. Slito, your son is dead.
Lieutenant, how could you?
No. Eddie's coming back. He told me.
He told you when he was here last week.
Ma'am, maybe you should sit down.
Eddie's not really dead.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
No.
Maybe I should handle this?
He was killed by someone else who was in on that armored car robbery 7 years ago.
But how? Nobody knows.
Ed was only out of prison 3 months of the last 10 years. August of 69 was one of them. That's when the armored car payroll was stolen. The money was never recovered.
Not Eddie. Please, not my Eddie.
I leveled with you, Mrs. Slito. At least do the same for me.
Leave me alone. I don't know anything.
Lieutenant.
Who else was there? Now, 4 people have died already. We don't want any more.
I don't know.
I'm sorry to be this way, Mrs. Slito, but I'm teed off. I liked Eddie. I respected his talent, but he didn't pull that job alone. It wasn't his style. And whoever he was working with wants that money. I want that man.
Go away.
Lieutenant.
Yeah, all right.
Ma'am, please, if you could just remember what your son might have said to you, anything.
He said the money was ours now. All he had to do was go get it. He was a good boy.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Officer?
Yes?
I don't know if it's important, but one day last week a man called here for Eddie, but he'd already gone.
Did he say who he was, leave any message?
No. He just asked for Eddie. Oh, one thing, though.
Yeah?
The man spoke with a foreign accent.
You don't expect Van Ness to be here, do you?
Well, if he's sniffing all those people, he does get around. There's a car. Somebody's here.
Look, there's a light on in the lodge.
Come on. Ready?
Go ahead.
Hold it right there, mister.
Hey, what is this? What is this?
Police business. Where's Van Ness? The guy who runs the place?
Yeah. I'm Van Ness. I own Dodger Lodge.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for things that make a happy day? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you found the love to grow and stay? Aren't you glad that we're pulling together? Aren't you glad that we're feeling free? Aren't you glad? 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 Aren't you glad just to be? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for feeling cool and clean all day? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you've done your best to stay that way.
Aren't you glad?
Glad we're getting together.
Aren't you glad?
Glad when people smile.
Aren't you glad? Do you dial? Aren't you glad? Do you dial? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Do you dial?
Got in tonight from Mexico. I've been on vacation the past 3 weeks. This is an off season.
Has anyone been here that you know of?
Only Sparky.
Sparky?
Yeah, Sparky Bell, the caretaker.
Describe him.
Well, he's sort of average height, medium build.
Lieutenant?
Yeah, I hear it. Mr. Van Ness, I have some bad news for you. While you were away, a man was hacked to death and buried on your property.
What?
His name is Ed Slito. Tattoo Ed. You ever hear of him?
No, I never heard of him.
And you don't know where Sparky is now?
I just this minute got in myself.
From where?
From the airport.
Well, don't go away. Nolan, let's go see what that thumping's about.
Lieutenant, look. There by the pilings. What is it?
An ice chest. Probably Ryan's. Open it up.
Oh, my God.
Well, what do you know? Slito's missing arm.
I think I'm going to be sick.
But listen.
I don't hear you.
Kill the light. One more step and you're a dead man.
Hey, don't shoot. Don't shoot. It's me, Vanessa.
You again. I thought I told you to stay put.
Oh, I was scared.
Scared of what?
Oh, what if Sparky's around?
What about it?
Well, he might want to kill me, too, like that other man. The one you was asking me about.
What makes you think Sparky killed Ed Slito?
You said he did.
Did I say that?
Well, you made it sound like that's what you meant.
Well, we don't know for sure. You ever see this ice chest before?
Oh, it didn't come from the lodge. We don't supply them.
It belonged to a couple named Ryan. Nice people. A little stuffy, but harmless.
Oh, but how did it get here?
The Ryans must have forgotten to take it when they left.
Ryan? I don't recall anyone by that name staying with us.
They were just here. Oh, but you were away. You couldn't have known. Kind of a strange place to keep an ice chest tied to a pier. What's inside is even stranger. Take a guess.
Oh, I'm sure I wouldn't know.
Lieutenant, there's something out there off the end of the pier.
Let's take a look.
It's a... Oh, no, not another body.
It doesn't look like we have to worry about Sparky anymore. It looks like he cut himself shaving. You know something, Van Ness? Van Ness.
Where'd he go?
Van Ness.
Come and get me, copper!
Lieutenant, he could be anywhere. He knows the area. Why don't we call for assistance?
No, I want this one.
But he's nuts. If he killed all those people, why did he come back here?
He had to come back to kill Sparky Bell.
Yeah, kill us too.
Maybe. I'll take that chance.
Thanks a lot.
They were all in on it. Van Ness, Sparky, and Slito. But Tattoo Ed crossed up the others. He must have buried the money right here after the robbery, then got himself sent up again to wait it out. When he came back, they were waiting for him.
Why hide it here, right under their noses?
People are always looking elsewhere for something that's right in front of them.
You shouldn't have come here! Now you're gonna die!
He's over by the lodge.
No, that's the Echo. He's closer by.
Why doesn't he go up into the woods, try to get away?
The money. He hasn't found it yet.
Are you sure?
I will be as soon as it's light. I know where Slito buried it. So keep walking. He'll be coming up off your left shoulder.
What?
Don't turn around. When I say to, duck your head. Duck!
Lieutenant, stop. You'll kill him.
Okay, get up, Van Ness. You're lucky my partner's a singles hitter. I'd like to smack you all the way up into the bleachers. Let's go.
Well, I'm glad that's over with. Van Ness really was off his rocker. Imagine killing all those people for something he couldn't even find. By the way, we haven't found the money yet either.
Yes, we have.
We have?
Come on, bring the shovel. Don't you see it?
See what?
These four pines. That's what Van Ness couldn't figure out from the tattoo on Slito's arm. All he saw was a baseball diamond. Now, if we call this tree home plate, and if we pace off 60 feet, 6 inches, we should have something.
Well, hand me that shovel, will you? Lieutenant, it's here.
Like I figured. It's all so sad, but simple just the same. Where else would Tattoo Edge Slito, the greatest right-handed thrower in the history of prison baseball, think to hide that stolen money? The place he knew best and loved most. Underneath the pitcher's mound.
When you're new and kind of nervous too, you'll find a smile will go a long, long way. When your guy lands in the apple pie, a little smile will go a long, long way.
A great way to make a smile go a long, long way in pictures is with Kodak's Pocket Smile Saver Kit. It comes complete with the littlest, newest pocket instamatic camera, a roll of color film, magic cubes, extender, carrying case, and everything you need for smile saving for less than $30. The Kodak Pocket Smile Saver Kit. You'll find it at your photo dealers for a limited time only.
So a smiling face can go just any place. You know the moon's a million miles.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes, exercise your imagination, and join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
An Arm's Length is an original radio drama by Kim Weisskopf. Dick Sargent was heard as Detective Lieutenant Dan Wilson. Featured in the cast were Mike Ray, Alice Reinhardt, Peter Leeds, Gene Gillespie, and Jim Bowles. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Colas, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman, Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribes, Sir Laurence Olivier in Theater Royal.
Good evening. Today's play, and our last in this series, is based on a story which is forever haunting to me, by Paul Gallico. It's of the Second World War, and I think it may already be familiar to you. I myself shall play the part of Philip Riada and tell you Paul Gallico's story, The Snow Goose. The Great Marsh lies on the Essex coast between the village of Chelmbury and the ancient Saxon oyster-fishing hamlet of Wickildraw. It is one of the last of the wild places of England. A low, far-reaching expanse of grass and reeds and half-submerged meadowlands ending in the great saltings and mudflats and tidal pools near the restless sea. The marsh is desolate, utterly lonely, and made lonelier by the calls and cries of the wild fowl that make their homes in the salting. Wild geese and the gulls, the teal, the widgeon, the red shanks and curlews that pick their ways through the tidal pools. Like a lonely sentinel in the emptiness, there stands the squat white ruin of an abandoned lighthouse, close by the mouth of the River Elder. Lately it has served again as an human habitation. It is the home of a man, a hunchback, but a man who creates great beauty, the painter Philip Riada.
Just a touch more. Bring up the... Perhaps one more silhouette to carry you over from one to the other like that. Yeah, like that, huh? Lord Company? Who the devil can that be? The first visitor in over 2 years. Wait a minute. Where's that rag? Well, good heavens. What have you got there, child? A goose?
I found it, sir. It's hurted. Is it still alive?
Yes. Yes, I think so. Come in, child, come in. Where did you find it?
In Marsh, sir, where Fowler's had been. Huh? What is it, sir?
Well, it's a snow goose from Canada. How in all heaven did it get here?
It's been shot by Fowler's. Can he heal it, sir?
Yes, I think so. Anyway, we'll try. Come along, you can help me. There are some scissors and bandages in that cupboard over there.
Right.
Now, let's get a proper look at it. All right. We're not going to hurt you. Just trying to help you, that's all. You know that, don't you? Now then. Yes, you've been shot all right, poor thing. Her leg's broken, and the wing's tipped, but not badly. Now, if we just clip her primaries so that we can bandage it... Yeah. That's better. Now we can see what we're doing.
Will she be able to fly again?
Oh, yes. These primaries, these big wing feathers, they'll grow in the spring. And then she'll be able to fly as well as ever. But I'm going to bandage the wing close to the body so that she can't move it until it's set, you see? Now we'll have to make a splint for a poor leg.
Shall I hold her, sir?
Yeah, that's right. You hold her while I find a splint among this firewood here. Well, these twigs will do, I think. I have to be a bit stronger than that. After all, she's a big bird, isn't she?
Aye. It were all I could do to pick her up and carry her to him.
Yes, it must have been. Why'd you bring it into me, I wonder?
I heard tell that he keeps birds in cages and feeds them and looks after them and won't let no one go shooting at them in your land.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fond of birds. I like looking after them.
Where did she come from, did you say?
From Canada. That's a land far, far across the seas. Beautiful daughter of England. She's quite a young bird. No more than a year old, I'd say. She's born up there in northern Canada, and when she flew south to escape the snow and ice and bitter cold, a great storm must have seized her and whirled and buffeted her about. At last, exhausted by her ordeal, she sank to rest in this friendly green marsh, only to be shot at by a hunter's gun. Bitter reception for a visiting princess.
Is she really a princess?
Oh, of course she is. A princess among birds. We'll call her La Princesse Perdue, the Lost Princess. In a few days, you'll be feeling much better, won't you, princess? See, watch her eat up this grain I've got for her. Why, the poor princess must be nearly starving.
Look, she's gobbling it all out of your hand. I must be going.
No, wait a minute. What's your name, child?
Frith.
Eh? Oh, Fritha, I suppose. Where do you live?
We're fisherfolk in Wickerdross.
Will you come back to see how the princess is getting along?
Aye.
Well, goodbye. One probably should be afraid of me just like all the others. An ogre. Hunchback with a withered claw of a hand.
But the child, Frith, or Fritha, came back. She overcame her fear of Lyra. Her imagination was captured by the presence of this strange white princess from a land far across the sea. Lyra had shown her the land on a map. It was pink all over. And on the map, they had traced the stormy path of a lost bird from its home in Canada to the great marsh of Essex. But now that the winter was over, Snow Goose was quite well again. It had been limping about the enclosure with the wild pink-footed geese by Christmas time, and now that it was June again, I had told her that it would fly away.
Yes. Very soon we shall see the last of our princess, Frith. Aren't you sorry?
Aye. Must she go, then?
Yes. Her instinct will call her back to Canada now that the summer has come again. That is, if she can ever fly back to Canada when she leaves here.
Couldn't we stop her flying away?
Oh, yes, we could. But you wouldn't want us to do that, would you? Don't you want her to feel free? Free to go where she wants to be? Free to do what she wants to do? want to make the princess a prisoner, do we?
No.
No. Now, look at these pink feet there. They're so fat and well-fed, they've got quite lazy. All their friends have migrated north weeks ago.
Go on! Go on! Off with you! Off to the north! Go on! Off to the north! After your friends!
Oh, no, they're going! Just like you told them to. Look. Look, the princess. She's going with them. She's flying away. Come back, princess. Come back.
The princess is going home. Listen. She's bidding us farewell. With the departure of the Snow Goose ended the visits of Frith to the lighthouse. Rhyoda learned all over again the meaning of the word loneliness. That summer, out of his memory, he painted a picture of a slender, grime-covered child, her fair hair blown by the November storm, who bore in her arms a wounded white bird. And then in mid-October, a miracle occurred. Rhyoda was in his enclosure feeding his bird. A gray northeast wind was blowing and the land was sighing beneath the coming tide. Above the sea and the wind noises, he heard a high, clear note. He turned his eyes upward to the evening sky in time to see first an infinite speck, then a black and white winged dream that circled the lighthouse once, and finally a reality that dropped to earth in the pen and came waddling forward importantly to be fed, as though she'd never been away. It was the Snow Goose.
But where has she been all summer, then, in Canada?
Who knows? Perhaps. No, I think she must have summered in Greenland or Spitsbergen with the pink feet. And she must have remembered us and returned to see us.
Oh, good, kind princess. Coming back to see us all that way.
Yes. You see, it means that she isn't afraid of us anymore. Not even afraid of me, Frith.
No.
Are you, Frith?
No.
Not like you were that time, just a year ago, when you first brought the wounded princess home to me?
No.
I'm glad, Frith. And now we shall have the princess with us all through the winter again. And not until next spring will she fly away again and leave us. Each winter, the Snow Goose returned and stayed. The world outside boiled and seethed and rumbled with rumors of a coming war, for these were the 1930s. But the rumors meant little to Rhyoda or Frith. When the Snow Goose was at the lighthouse, Frith came too. She sailed with Rhyoda in the little sailboat he handled so skillfully despite his withered arm. They caught wildfowl together for their ever-increasing colony and built new pens and enclosures to house them till the summer took them north once more. But when that happened, and the princess herself flew off once more, it was as though some kind of bar was between them. Frith herself stayed away. And Rhyoda was alone again. The war came to England. And 6 weeks later, the Snow Goose returned from the outer darkness of the north. With her, Frith returned as well. But only after another month had gone by. And when she came, Rhyoda with a shock realized that she was a child no longer. In just a few short months, she had grown up into a shy young woman. 17. So you must have been 13 when you came here first with the wounded princess.
Yes. Seems a long time ago, doesn't it?
A long time ago. All the way between childhood and being grown up, Frith.
Mr. Rhyoda?
No, let's not have Mr. Rhyoda with us anymore, shall we? I call you Frith. Now you're old enough to call me Philip. Or will that seem very strange to you?
I don't think so, Philip.
No, doesn't even sound strange to me. Almost as though it always should have been Philip.
Oh, look. More planes going to Germany.
Yeah. More planes. More death.
Perhaps that's why the birds are leaving so early this spring. They're afraid of the planes.
Yes, they're leaving us to fend for ourselves. Planes and bombs. No wonder they're frightened. Here it is only the 1st of May, and the last of the pink feet have gone already. So have the barnacle geese. All are leaving.
Philip, look. The snow goose. The princess, she's going too. Oh, no.
What is she going? No, she's flying too low for that. She isn't rising at all, just slowly circling the lighthouse, getting the feel of her wings. But look, she's settling again.
Princess, you're going to stay with us?
Yes, she'll stay. She'll never go away again. The lost princess is lost no more. This is her home now, of her own free will,
Philip, I must go back. Goodbye.
Goodbye, friend.
Till tomorrow. I'm glad the princess will stay. You'll not be so alone now.
Oh, well, goodbye, Frith. Oh, I won't be so alone now. Oh. I wonder.
In a moment, we continue. Theatre Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier.
Fine Sunday entertainment continues with a dramatic series, Inheritance, tonight. The Mountain Men is the offering of the evening and tells the story of Hugh Glass, one of a small band of hunters and trappers who crossed the Missouri and helped open up the West. You'll enjoy this entry in the regular Sunday night series, presented in cooperation with the American Legion. That's Inheritance, tonight. Meet the Press then brings you another prominent guest who answers the barrage of pertinent questions fired by a panel of top newspaper reporters. Lawrence Spivak is moderator. And here is a checklist of some of the Monday through Friday standouts. Every weekday morning, there's laughs and variety listening to Brighton household chores. We mean Bob, the housewife's friend, Hope, who entertains guest stars, plus his outstanding woman of the week. Tomorrow, he salutes Edna E. Prevost of Pueblo, Colorado, who has given 4 years of voluntary aid to displaced persons in her community. The comedian will also interview interesting personalities from the studio audience, read some true funny stories from listeners, and engage in a few verbal jousts with announcer straight man Bill Goodwin. So I'll put a little hope into your daytime listening tomorrow. And don't forget all the other daily regulars. Pauline Frederick, award-winning analyst, provides commentary on international and United Nations news. Also in the current events department, there is 3-star extra with Ray Henley, Ned Brooks, and a guest expert. Alex Dreyer, your newsman on the go. Morgan Beatty with a roundup of world happenings. Plus a staff of specialists who join Jim Fleming in bringing you the heart of the news. Then you'll want to pay your nightly visit to all the friendly folks at 79 Wistful Vista, the home of Fibber McGee and Molly, where you just might bump into Wallace Whipple, Doc Gamble, and the old-timer. Sound like some interesting listening? Always is on NBC.
And now we continue Theatre Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier.
It was a little more than 3 weeks before Frith returned to the lighthouse. May was at its end, and the day, too, in a long golden twilight that was giving way to the silver of the moon already hanging in the eastern sky. She told herself, as her steps took her thither, that she must know whether the snow goose had really stayed, as Ryder had said it would. Perhaps it had flown away, after all. But her firm tread on the sea wall was full of eagerness, and sometimes, unconsciously, she found herself hurrying. As she approached the lighthouse, she saw the yellow light of Ryder's lantern down by his little wharf. His sailboat was rocking gently on the flooding tide, and he was loading supplies into her, water and food and bottles of brandy, gear and a spare sail.
Philip, you're going away?
Frith! Oh, I'm glad you came. Yes, I must go away, a little trip. I'll come back, never fear.
But where must you go?
Over the channel, to Dunkirk.
Over the channel? You mean to France?
Yes, it's only about 100 miles.
You mean where the fighting is?
Well...
You're going to the war.
Well, in a way, yes. You've heard the news about Dunkirk?
Only what they say. But our soldiers are fighting there.
Yeah, well, they can't fight any longer, Frith. They're trapped. The Germans in front of them and the sea behind them. They're out on the sands there. A whole army without weapons, without any cover, waiting for the German advance. Reports in flames. The position's hopeless for them. The whole army, you see, trapped out there, helpless.
But what can you do for them, Philip? You'll be killed, too.
Oh, no, I shan't. I hope. All the men with boats in Chelmbury are putting out, and the little ships along the whole coast. All going over to help get the men back to England. The government has made an appeal. Every tug or fishing boat or launch that can get there heading across the channel to take the men off the beaches.
But it's madness. They'll all be killed. What can they do?
Well, they can do something. Get the men off the beaches to the transports and destroyers that are standing offshore that can't get into the shallows, you see. That's what I can do. 6 or 7 men at a time. Get them off the beaches.
Philip, must you go? You'll not come back. Why must it be you?
Oh, no, listen, Frith. Those men are huddled on the beaches like hunted birds. You know, the wounded and the hunted birds we used to find and bring into the sanctuary. Over them are flying the planes like steel peregrines, hawks and gerfalcons. There's no shelter in which to hide. They're lost and storm-driven and harried, like the lost princess was when you found her and brought her to me from the marshes that time we healed her. You remember?
You're bad arm, Philip.
Oh, this is something I can do. You know I can. Just for once, I can be a man and play my part.
I'll come with you, Philip.
No. Your place in the boat would cause a soldier to be left behind, and another. No, I must go alone.
Philip, please.
Goodbye, my dear. Now, will you look after the birds until I return?
Yes, I'll take care of them. Godspeed, Philip.
God bless you, Frith.
It was night now, bright with moon fragment and stars and northern glow. Frith stood on the seawall and watched the sail gliding down the swollen estuary. Suddenly, from the darkness behind her, there came a rush of wings and something swept past her into the air. In the night light, she saw the flash of white wings, black-tipped, and the thrust forward head of the snow goose. It rose and cruised over the lighthouse once, and then headed down the winding creek where Ryota's sail was slanting in the gaining breeze, and flew above him in slow, wide circles.
Princess! Oh, princess, watch over him! Watch over him!
Hey, you all right, mate?
Fine.
Hey, blimey, look at that bloody great bird flying into all that muck and stink. Look at it.
Well, what is it? A swan or something?
No, it's a ruddy goose. Here, look at it, circling round like it was a dive bomber.
I'll tell you what, we're done for. It's Angel of Death had to pick us up.
Nah, not it. It's a ruddy goose come over with a message from Churchill, asking how we like the bathing over here. Here, it's a good omen, that's what it is. We'll get out of here yet, mate, you mark my words.
We won't get out unless some perisher comes and picks us all up, and that's the honest truth.
Here comes a chap who's going to take us there. Look. That little sailing boat coming round through the smoke there.
Oh, look at him. Sailing along as cool as you please, like a blooming top out for a pleasure spin on a Sunday afternoon at Danley.
Run. Look at the bullets whipping the water up all round him.
I hope he makes it. That's where they sunk the Ramsgate motorboat this morning.
Oh, we'll make it, never you fear. Chap that's as cool as that'll make anything. Yeah, he's into the shallows now. Look out! Another of the jitters! Get down! Yeah. No, they didn't get him. They didn't get him. He's going to make it.
Oh, look at him now. A black beard, humpback, and a sort of claw for his hand. It's old Nick himself. We must be dead and we don't know it.
It's more like the good Lord, he looks to me. Like the pictures in the Sunday school books. White face, dark eyes, beard and all. And his blooming boat.
I can take 7 at a time.
Good man. The 7 that are nearest. Get in. You four. You and you men over there.
What? Us, sir?
Yes, you fool. Don't stand there staring. Get in, quick.
Yes, sir. Well, come on, Lofty.
Okay.
This is it.
Come on, lad. In you get.
Right.
Don't mind getting your feet wet.
Here we are,
then. Mind your heads when I swing around. In fact, keep down in the bottom of the boat, all of you.
Blimey. Look at that ruddy goose flying round and round. Told you it was a good omen. It's a blinking angel of mercy. That's what it is.
When he had brought his boatload out to the Kentish maze, Ryder sailed back to the shore for 7 more survivors, and all that day he sailed back and forth. A motorboat from the Thames Yacht Club had come to help in the job, and then a lifeboat from Poole, until the Kentish Maid had 700 souls aboard her. And when she sailed back to England, Ryder waved from his little sailboat, and the snow goose flew circling over him. It was 4 days later that a limehouse tug was sailing back across the channel, towing 4 barges full of the last survivors from Dunkirk Beach.
Can you make out what she is?
Seems to be a dead man lashed to the mast, sir.
We'll stop. He may only be wounded.
What's that bird on a rail, for heaven's sake? Looks like a goose.
Hey, it is, sir. The goose has been flying over the beaches during the whole evacuation. Becomes a sort of legend among the men. Some of those I brought back yesterday in the trawler had seen it. They said if you saw the flying wild goose, you'd be saved. It's a sort of good luck omen.
A wild goose? That one looks tame. Almost like a pet that he'd brought over with him.
Floating mine on the port bow!
A mine. Look, mister, right in our course. Do you realize if we hadn't stopped, we'd probably have hit it?
Aye, it's more than likely, sir. Looks as though we were lucky to see the goose.
Haul that boat in! Is he dead?
Dead, sir. Machine gun. Nothing else aboard except the goose. Can't take it off. It attacks you every time you come near it.
Very good. Tell them in the last barge. I want that mine detonated before it does any damage.
Mine 30 yards to port. Sink at the stern of the last barge.
Aye, Archer.
I wonder who he was, poor devil. Probably someone who'd come over from Dover or somewhere. Stayed to the very end and then killed on the way back. The goose didn't bring him any luck, mister.
No, poor beggar.
Nice shooting back there. Well, there's one mine that won't do any more damage.
Look, the wee sailboat. It's sinking.
A concussion. Yes, she's going. And the man with her.
And there goes the goose. Circling round like a plane, saluting. Once, twice, 3 times. Now, flying back to England.
It'll bring bad news to someone, I'm afraid.
When Ryder had sailed away, Fritter had remained alone at the little lighthouse on the Great Marsh, taking care of the birds, waiting for she knew not what. The first days she haunted the seawall watching, though she knew it was useless. Later, she roamed through the storerooms of the lighthouse where Ryder had stacked his canvases. There she came across the picture that Ryder had painted of her from memory when she was still a child. The picture and all she saw in it stirred her as nothing had before, for much of Ryder's soul had gone into it. And now Fritha knew in her blood, had known from the moment he sailed away that Ryder would not return. And so, when one sunset she heard the high-pitched, well-remembered note cried from the heavens, it brought no instant of false hope to her heart. This moment, it seemed, she had lived before many times. She came running to the seawall, turned her eyes not toward the distant channel whence a sail might come, but in the sky, from whose flaming arches plummeted the snow goose. Then the sights, the sound, and the solitude surrounding broke the dam within her and released the surging overwhelming truth of her love. Let it well forth in tears.
Oh, Philip. Philip, I love you. I love you, Philip.
For a moment, she thought the snow goose was going to land in the old enclosure. But it only skimmed low, then soared up again, flew in a wide, graceful spiral once round the old light, and then began to climb. Watching it, she saw no longer the snow goose, but the soul of Ryder taking farewell of her before departing forever.
that's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you'll join me again next Tuesday for another hour of radio drama. And between now and then, don't forget to visit the website, find thousands of other old shows to listen to, and of course, donate if you're able to help out. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.